welcome to the call today. Sorry for the delay. I had some challenges getting in, but we're here. Welcome for the newbies. This is the weekly, I guess we'll call it, influence call. We're going to talk about some do's and don'ts, spend some time together, truth and don'ts, spend some time together talking about some things that will make a difference in what you are working on and help you take things to the next level. That's what we're here for. That's what we'll be talking about as we take things step by step for you in the world of influence, self-persuasion, motivation, and influence. And one of the things we need to take a focus on and work with is how do you deal, and again, break in any time with any questions, is how do you deal with a hostile audience? How do you deal with someone that has a little venom? How do you deal with somebody that's heckling you? How do you deal with somebody that's having a hard time and blaming you for it? I guess we can put it to you that way. Because whether it's your fault or not, it really doesn't matter. The human nature needs to be right, as we know, and that many times they'll take it out on you. So how do you deal with that hostile person? How do you deal with that person that's very negative? How do you deal with that person that's out to get you? And I want to deal with that. Whether you're doing real estate and foreclosures, whether you're approaching somebody in network marketing, people can be very, very hostile. And right or wrong, we're going to put that aside. It's human nature. You're there to help them out, but you can be there to help them out, but they might be very negative, very condescending, and we need to have some tools to be able to deal with that. So let's talk about a few things that you can do, because people will be negative, people will be hostile, people will attack you. You're the old proverbial kick dog. You might be the dog. You might not want that, but that's how some people will treat you. So the first one is the law of connectivity. One of the 12 laws of persuasion is the more somebody likes you, the less likely they are to be able to attack you. We see this in negotiation. We see this in a variety of different things where your people skills, your ability to connect with people is a huge part of your success. So if you can find something that you have in common, if you can connect with them using your people skills, building rapport, that will help you connect with that type of a person. Connectivity is a big aspect of your success. You might think people are liking you, but you need to think again. People really want to spend time with you. Can you connect with that person? That is a big aspect of persuasion and influence. Remember, even foreclosure, if they're going through a very emotional situation, can you connect with that? Now, one thing you can do here that's very important is find a common enemy. I'll give you an example. If you're dealing with a foreclosure and someone is doing real estate and is very angry, make the bank the common enemy. Yeah, those guys, they're always out to get you. They're always doing that. They're always throwing people out on the street. If you can make them the common enemy, there's a connection there, and you aren't the enemy. So if you find yourself being the enemy, you need to find a different common enemy that you can use, and that'll help you out. Another one of the laws of the persuasion that'll be very helpful to you is the law of balance, meaning you are involved in a very emotional situation. And, you know, logic is good. Logic will help you out. But one thing that will work for you in your favor is that your ability to tell stories, a relevant story. Somebody else that was in a similar situation that was able to solve their challenges, or you were able to solve their challenges and able to help them out. So a lot of balance is balancing logic with emotion. And you need to have a little logic here, but a story will go a long way with your ability to persuade that person. Another thing you can do is talk about the win-win situation. Now, you're not there just to benefit yourself, but they are also going to win. They are going to save their house. They are going to get a home-based business. They are going to be able to see a benefit. Because people get very tense and frustrated when they think you're the only person that's going to win, that you're the only person that will benefit from the transaction. So if you can somehow paint the picture to where you're both going to win. It's beneficial for you to work together. It decreases that hostility. Another thing you can do is find some type of common belief or a common value. One thing we know with connecting with people in human nature that if you have something in common, that there's an instant connection there. And you can find something in common with everybody you meet. Some are more difficult than others, obviously. But if you can find some type of commonality that you were once in that situation or the same school or living in the same state or having the same type of interest, that's another thing that will decrease that hostility. But you have to have the ability to ask questions. Remember, the top persuaders ask 3 times more questions than the average persuader. Another thing that's important in this situation is respect their feelings and who they are as a person, their integrity. Even though that's a no-brainer to you, it might not be how you're coming across. Don't say they shouldn't feel that way. One of the worst things that parents do to their children is, well, don't feel that way. You shouldn't be angry. You shouldn't be sad. You shouldn't be upset. And the child's like, well, I am. If you tell someone they shouldn't be angry, they shouldn't be upset, no, they are. So respect their feelings. Respect what they believe in. Treat them like they're the most important person in the earth. They're having a hard time, and they're getting hostile. They're taking it out on you. And find that common belief, find that common value, and respect another person. And that goes a long way. We're finding in the world of persuasion that when you have the ability to show empathy or sympathy, that the doors of influence swing wide open. Now, of course, it's easier for women than men, but sympathy or empathy, let's go with empathy, sympathy seems to be, well, you feel sorry for them, I'm sorry you're losing your house, but empathy is really feeling their pain. Sympathy, sorry your cat's dead, versus empathy is really feeling what it's like to lose an animal. And it's a skill that takes some time and some talent. Some of you have it naturally, some of you don't. A little empathy in a situation goes a long way. Another one we noticed, and you have to be careful here, is humor. There's a lot of research here. There's a direct correlation between your ability to get someone to smile, get someone to laugh, and your humor, and your ability to persuade influence. Realize with humor that they're either going to laugh with you or feel sorry for you. There's no in between. And that your ability to make someone feel better about themselves, to smile, to laugh, is a big piece of persuasion. You know, it depends on the personality, depends on the situation. But, you know, a joke or being empathetic or something in your back pocket with humor can be very beneficial. Anybody can make somebody smile or feel better about themselves. There's just something about that that changes it. Well, I know what that something is that mood matters. When you help people get into a better mood, they feel better about themselves, about you, about their future, what you can accomplish. But if they're in a negative mood, they feel more negative and pessimistic about what's going to happen and about you. And that's why humor comes into play. Again, there's a direct correlation between humor and your ability to persuade. Another piece here that would cause a lot of resistance with a very hostile person, a hostile audience, again, this could be one-on-one or with a whole group of people, is I see too many potentials. So the persuader says, today I'm going to persuade you, today I'm going to show you, I'm going to convince you, I'm going to tell you. And that might be true, but it's basic human nature that is they're going to resist you. You don't want to say that you're going to persuade them. What you want to do is connect with them. And you're there only to persuade on one thing. You're not there to talk about politics. You're not there to talk about religion, and those are fine if you want to talk about those, but there's one specific point that you're trying to persuade on, not 4 or 5. The hostile audience, pick the one area that you're going to attempt to persuade and show them that you've done your homework, that you know about their situation. If you want to decrease the resistance of a hostile audience, show them that you've done your homework. You know the numbers. You know the statistics. You know what's happening in the marketplace. That you're not just some hoo-ha that's out there to make money, but you've really done your research. And that goes back to a lot of balance between emotions and logic, and that will really help you out. Because logical reasoning is important here. Use it carefully, but it can decrease hostility. Remember, when we talk about angry people, what's happening is the blood is leaving the brain. That's just anger. And some people don't think straight when they're angry. And when we teach negotiations, you realize there's only one angry person at a time. That's what's supposed to happen. Because when two people get angry, that's when strange things really start to happen. So understand with anger that the blood's leaving the brain, that you're very emotional, you're very hostile. You might need a little diversion to take a break, to go for a walk, to come back later, to talk about something more analytical, to get a little tired, to play, give blood back in the brain. And those of you don't realize that they're getting out of control. For example, I was going to a negotiation. I was there to monitor it, and they were both there early, and they were going at it. They were arguing. They were upset with each other. And I came up the stairs. They still didn't even notice me. And there was a medium-sized box at the top of the stairs. I kicked it down the stairs. And they kind of looked at me, looked at the stairs, looked at me, looked at the stairs. And it was enough time for a little blood to get back in the brain to realize that they're out of control and to understand that there are some things that they could do to make the negotiation a little better. So increase your credibility in the situation with studies or what the experts have said. Anything you can do to support your claim. Because a lot of people, let's talk about real estate, for example, can get hostile when you have an offer that's what we call in the insult zone. So if your offer is way too high or way too low, it could be in that insult zone, and it could cause some hostility. So a few things that can help in that situation. If you can say, well, this is the standard offer, this is my standard formula, that's what we call verbal packaging, too. You know, this is what you do for everybody. It's not just them. Everybody gets this offer based on the standard formula. You use the standard contract. That is helpful. And then another thing that will help you out in that situation with the credibility is, especially when you're pursuing maybe a low ball or a high ball offer, is make sure the offer is a little odd. This is what I mean. That you don't offer $200,000. You offer $204,462. Or $203,742. Has more credibility, it decreases the insult zone, it doesn't seem like you're pulling the number out of the air. Because some people will be hostile. That's a big thing. That's a big thing to write down. This is my standard contract. That word is powerful. This is the standard formula we use for everyone. This is the standard that the investors I work with use to determine the value of your home. It will really help you out. Now, on the flip side, it will also help you if you are talking to somebody who's selling their home. You know that emotionally people think their home's worth a lot more than it actually is. You say, great, well, you're doing a FSBO right here, it looks like. What are you selling your home for? And they say, I'm going to just round some numbers off here, $200,000, and you know it's worth $180,000, the most. And you stay in control. You don't get emotional. You say, okay, great. Let me write that down, $200,000. And then you ask, tell me, what is the standard? What is the formula? Or how are you arriving at that number? And here's the moment of truth. Because that moment of truth is two things are going to happen. They're going to tell you their formula, which is very beneficial to you. But probably what's going to happen is they're going to say something like this. Well, I just know. And then at that moment, you know, they're pulling it over the air. They really don't know. And that opens the door to the ability to persuade them. Many people will be hostile. Many people will attack you. Many people will make their problem your problem. As great influential people, you're checking your emotions at the door. You're realizing that human beings need to be right, that if you back them into a corner, that will really hurt your ability to persuade. If you tell them they're wrong, it'll hurt their ability to persuade. If you tell them they're stupid, or they feel that way, it'll hurt your ability to persuade. Now, it sounds like common sense, but a lot of people will make people feel that way. If you can show empathy, if you can stay in control, if you can connect with that person and develop trust, the doors of influence swing wide open. Here are the brutal facts, here are the brutal numbers. When people like you and trust you, you have a 90% chance of persuasion. When they don't like you and don't trust you, you have a 10% chance. So the reality is the ability to connect with that person and build trust is a lot more important than any offer that you can develop. Don't take it personally, whether it be a negotiation, whether it be in a home-based business, whether it be in a physical, whether it be in a foreclosure. Stay in control. Most people do not know how to deal with their emotions. And when they're feeling tense and uneasy and angry, they're looking for someone to take it out of them. They're looking for someone to blame. Most anger comes from blame. And if you can stay in control, when you can stay in control and use the elements that we talked about today, let them defuse a little bit, they are more apt to be able to be persuaded and influenced. Very, very important. With that being said, are there any questions about what we talked about today? Or things that you're running into? Or want to sing a song? You're very quiet today.
Mr. Mortensen, this is Michael Bryant. I'll make a comment. I was, because your topic this week is just tremendously timing, good timing for the interview that I heard yesterday on NPR. There was a woman there who, child psychologist, and she has a new book out, Understanding Me. It was aimed at 8 to 13-year-olds. And the interview was going beautifully, and I'm driving for a long time, and I'm listening to this interview, and I'm just completely wrapped in this woman's verbal packaging and her ease with which she could describe different components as different people were calling in. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes this one woman who's got two kids, and she's got an attitude, and she's basically telling this woman, you know, it's so easy for you to stand there with all this advice on telling parents how to parent. And I watched this woman do the most beautiful job of apologizing to her and indicating that that was never her intent, and it was sorry that she came across that way, and she really did a lot of things you talked about today to support this woman's position as a parent and as a good parent and empathize with her how difficult it is to be a parent today and to raise two children and just, you know, said how lucky you were to have two children and completely turned this person into, at the very least, neutral and perhaps even to the better side when she really came on and just startled everybody on the airwaves that, you know, she was really upset with her viewpoint. And who knows, maybe this woman was having a bad day. It was hard to say, but you have to keep that in mind as well, I thought, was one of my points.
And that's a great point, and thanks for sharing with that, because it was, human nature is like, well, don't be stupid. You're the rude one. You're the stupid one, right?
Right,
because
right.
That's our knee-jerk reactions. We want to attack the person because they hurt our feelings. But if you can stay in control, that's when you can persuade. And that it comes back to whether you're heckling or who the person is, because that's how people are. You have to check your emotions at the door. I was talking to a student once, to a professor. The student was kind of heckling the professor. Well, you don't know, that's not true. And when that happens, the whole audience is kind of like, whoa, that's interesting, what's going to happen? And this professor started to get a little angry, and then she attacked the student. She says, well, that was a dumb question. And the professor finally says, well, you know, that's not right, you shouldn't do this. And the student said, well, don't have a cow. Now, here's the moment of truth. The professor says, I don't have cows. I'm a full professor. I will always be smarter than you and always make more money than you. Okay? Now that might be true, but that doesn't matter. She has lost all respect from her class. She has lost all ability to persuade and influence. And every time anybody from that class sees that professor, that's the first time they think about.
And that damage could last for a long time.
It lasts for a long time. That's why when someone attacks you, just realize, you know, they're having a bad day. Don't take it personally. Handle it. Smile it. Go with it. Say, and apologize. Even if it's not your fault, say, you know, I'm sorry. That wasn't my intent. And we teach that negotiation, too, to where if someone gets really angry, really upset, you just stop and say, you know, I'm sorry. Even if you don't feel like it's your fault, doesn't matter here. I'm sorry. That wasn't my intent. I apologize. Let's talk this through and understand how we can really help you out. Otherwise, we go to the knee-jerk human rage. It's like, no, you're not. You're the dumb one. I'm smarter than you.
Down the slippery slope you go.
Exactly. I saw this once in a negotiation. Two very successful business people getting highly emotional. One finally says, well, I make more money than you. I'm like, really?
Wow.
My dad can beat up your dad. I mean,
yeah, that's where you're at that point.
This
also is a great reason why you need to stay in great physical shape as well and eat well and get your rest, because then you can be at the top of your game when that sort of thing gets tossed your way. And if you're not those things, you're probably more inclined to maybe not, you know, kind of keep your skills sharp. And I always think those are good things to keep in mind.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Vince Lombardi, the football coach, said it best. He says, fatigue makes cowards of us all.
Mm-hmm.
If you stayed up all night cramming for it, or you don't haven't eaten, or whatever it is, that could affect you in negotiation, too. So emotional balance and rest and eating right, that's all part of the package to realize, again, you're dealing with humans. 95% of all persuasion involves that subconscious trigger, that feeling. And if you really want to persuade, that you just have to check those emotions at the door. Even though it feels good to prove them that they're wrong, back them into a corner, it might feel good, but then you've lost all of your ability to persuade them. Good point.
I agree.
Any other questions out there? Comments? One thing I want to point out in our remaining minutes here is I think just as bad as a hostile audience is an indifferent audience. They've just tuned out. They're not listening. You're like, yeah, whatever. Remember, top persuaders ask three times more questions than the average persuaders. It's interesting that 4-year-olds will ask 300 questions a day, and college graduates only ask 20. But if you ever lose control of a conversation, if you ever see that blank look in their face, always go with the question. People will always ask a question, either whether it be verbally or mentally, will always get answered. That's one way to get an indifferent person back on track. And spilling out the benefits for them, grabbing their attention with a story, using examples is another thing. And I'd actually rather have a hostile person that's listening than an indifferent person. That's probably the worst thing as a persuader, is someone that's just tuned out, doesn't care, and is not listening. I put them in the same categories. So if you're losing control, or they're getting a little too angry, or a little indifferent, ask your question. And here's a great one that works. Just say, well, what's important about? What's the most important thing about saving your home? What's the most important thing about a home-based business? One thing you could say, too, is if a genie appeared and made everything look perfect to you, what would that look like? Get them to think, get a little blood back in their brain, maintain control of the conversation will really help you out. Your ability to ask questions and diagnose is a big piece of your ability to influence. So just remember that one question. What's important about? What's the most important thing about saving your home? What's the most important thing about? And then you can fill in the blank. Get them to think. And get them back on track. Because at least a hostile person is listening, and a different person is a lot of times just tuned out. They don't care. They're just waiting for you to leave. And it's very difficult to persuade in that situation. Any questions any questions that you have, I guess we'll put it that way.
As we're moving forward in our Wednesday schedule, 2 weeks from now is the 23rd, I believe. Are we intending to have a conference call on that day?
The 22nd, yes, I am planning on it.
The 22nd.
So there's really no holiday as far as Christmas and New Year's, because 22nd and 29th, so I'm planning on having those. And, of course, remember, we're posting at recordings.advancedinfluence.com. If you can't make those because of the holidays, I'll repeat that, recording.advancedinfluence.com. So one thing to really look at this week as you start, you know, working with people, when people are indifferent or angry, I want to work on your questions. Have a question ready to roll that when you feel them getting a little angry, a little hostile, maybe they're tuning out, have a question ready. Don't panic and start vomiting all your features and benefits. Ask questions. Can't say this enough, but great persuaders ask three times more questions than the average persuaders, because that makes you a consultant, not a salesperson. It makes you a consultant because you're listening and you're asking questions. So really work on your ability to ask questions this week. All right, any other questions for me?
Comment, Kurt. You did magnificently, like always.
Oh, appreciate that. It's always good to hear. And, of course, there's a response form on recording.advancedinfluence.com if you want to look at the recording or send us a question. If there's something you want to listen to during class, you can always listen to that. If you want more to listen to different audios, Law of Connectivity and Magnetic Persuasion is a great audio to listen to that will really give you the four aspects of connecting with people. With that being said, everyone have a great week. Wishing you massive success. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Mr. Mortensen.
You bet. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
We'll see you.